welcome to Money Trail with me, Amir Arfat. Today, American taxpayers and the world's largest terrorist organization. 7 decades of terror, coups, and covert operations, all sponsored, orchestrated, sealed, and delivered by the CIA.
Until the American public know how much the CIA receives in money every year, and know how many people they have, and what they're doing all over the world, the CIA will continue to bumble along in some sort of romantic role that they've ascribed unto themselves, and the American people attribute to the CIA, because we know nothing about it.
December 1941. The attack on Pearl Harbor sinks the Pacific Fleet. Military intelligence is in shambles. The Dawn attack becomes the crucible on which the modern spy culture is born.
Well, the CIA is really a creature of Pearl Harbor. Now, Harry Truman was around during Pearl Harbor. He was vice president, of course. And he knew that there were little pieces and bits of information around in the Army Air Corps and the code breakers and the embassy in Tokyo and the FBI in Washington, which was watching the Tokyo, the Japanese embassy here, and the Navy in Pearl Harbor. If there were one inbox, and in those days, of course, we used to have boxes made of wood, if there were one inbox into which all this information was put, it would have been a no-brainer.
It was a simpler time when the nation's enemies were clear. Washington and Hollywood swept into action, inventing the popular culture that has surrounded espionage for half a century.
We had hoped that our wartime ally, the Soviet Union, would join in the efforts of the whole community of nations to build a peaceful world. Instead, the rulers of the Soviet Union have sought to extend the boundaries of their totalitarian control.
The battlefields of the new Cold War seemed uniquely suited to the skills of spies and secret agents. President Truman pledged that the United States would never be caught by surprise again. The Central Intelligence Agency.
Men and women of the CIA are the eyes and ears of the free world. You are the tripwire.
CIA is a state-sponsored terrorist association. You don't look at people as human beings. They're nothing but pieces on the chessboard.
Secrecy in this work is essential. Achievements and triumphs can seldom be advertised. Shortcomings and failures often are advertised.
No one really knows all the things that CIA does. They pretty much have carte blanche, and they have an enormous amount of money.
I think that there was a substantial shadow government trying to run foreign affairs for the United States.
In any other country, it would have been called a coup. And they seem to have gotten away with it.
The problem, if you will, was that almost immediately the CIA, established by veterans of the World War II Office of Strategic Services, going beyond the precise language of the legislation, began to devote most of its resources to the conduct of so-called covert operations, which are military, paramilitary, economic, political activities designed to affect events in other countries in which the participation of the United States can be concealed or, as the language of the Act tells us, if revealed, can plausibly be denied. So plausible deniability has been a big part of it.
Right at the birth of the CIA, they were put into this legislation by one sentence. And that sentence says, the Director of Central Intelligence shall perform such other functions and duties related to intelligence that the President shall from time to time direct, period, end quote.
Men of the 101st Airborne Division land in Comron Bay.
Intelligence on Vietnam was doctored to support the ongoing war there, and I could see that the situation in doctoring intelligence was universal.
Now these reinforcements head for where the action is supposed to be. For according to current policy, the emphasis is to be on direct combat rather than on advisory duty.
Wherever the agency had a covert action role or a policy role to implement, its intelligence was distorted, shaped, created to support that policy. It was, in many, many cases, it was nothing but fiction.
My expertise, as you know, is CIA, Marine Corps, three CIA secret wars. I had a position in the National Security Council in 1975 as the chief of the Angola task force running the secret war in Angola. It was the third CIA secret war I was part of. The national security law creating the National Security Council and the CIA, as you know, was passed in 1947. The CIA was given this charter to perform such other duties and function as might be necessary to the national security interests, and given a vague authority to protect its sources and method. And I think it was in the mid-80s that I coined this phrase, the Third World War, because in my research I realized that we were not attacking the Soviet Union and the CIA's activities, we were attacking people in the Third World. And I'm going to just quickly, in the interest of time, just give you a little sense of what that means, this Third World War. Basically, it's the third, I believe, in terms of loss of life and human destruction, the third bloodiest war in all of history. They undertake to run operations in every corner of the globe. They also undertook the license of operating just totally above and beyond U.S. laws. They had a license, if you will, to kill, but also they took that to a license to smuggle drugs, a license to do all kinds of things to other people in other societies in violation of international law, our law, and every principle of nations working together for a healthier and more peaceful world.
The CIA, almost from its beginning, was more than just an intelligence operation. It took on its own foreign policy. It even had its own airplanes in the 50s, but it was formed in 1947. By the 1950s, it had its own air force, sort of, and it had its own foreign policy, and it was active in dozens of countries.
There was the overthrow of Prime Minister Mossadegh in Iran in 1953. There was the overthrow of Arbenz in Guatemala in 1954. There was the overthrow of the Brazilian government in 1964. There was the overthrow of the Ghana government in 1966. A lot of the governments I've just mentioned got into trouble with the international oil companies because they tried to assert their national prerogatives over their own resources. Time after time, the CIA has come in on behalf of those multinational companies.
you start a huge covert war that you intend is going to be secret. It's not secret from the Russians. Certainly not secret from the Laotians who are getting shot at, or the Angolans or the Nicaraguans or whoever it is. It's covert from the American taxpayer and voter. And a lot of people make a lot of money off of it. And it attracts criminals. And it has every single time.
We have massive documentation of what they call the secret wars of the CIA. We don't have to guess or speculate. We had the Church Committee investigate them in 1975, gave us our first really in-depth, powerful look inside this structure. Senator Church said in the 14 years before he did his investigation that he found they had run 900 major operations and 3,000 minor operations. And if you extrapolate that over the whole period of the 40-odd years that we've had a CIA, you come up with 3,000 major operations and over 10,000 minor operations.
They were attempting to assassinate leaders that they didn't approve of. The CIA, in the course of its history, has attempted to assassinate more than 50 foreign leaders. And I have the whole list in my book.
Now we need more intelligence, not less. We must not diminish our intelligence.
The CIA is not really an intelligence agency. It's a covert action agency.
The CIA has been involved in assassination and torture behind the scenes, all through its history.
The Cold War is over, but many new dangers have taken its place. The decisive advantage United States intelligence provides this country is therefore as important as it has ever been.
Extensively, we manipulated and organized the overthrow of functioning constitutional democracies in other countries. We organized secret armies and directed them to fight in just about every continent in the world. We encouraged ethnic minorities to rise up and fight, people like the Mosquito Indians in Nicaragua, the Kurds in the Middle East, the Hmongs in Southeast Asia. We have organized, and we still do, and fund death squads in countries around the world, like the Treasury Police in El Salvador, which are responsible for most of the killing of the 50,000 people just in the 80s, and there was 70,000 before that. And orchestration, CIA, secret teams, and propaganda led us directly into the Korean War. We were attacking China from the islands, Kaimoi, Matsu, Thailand, Tibet. A lot of drug trafficking involved in this, by the way, until eventually we convinced ourselves to fight the Chinese and Korean. We had the Korean War and 1 million people were killed. Same thing for the Vietnam War, and we have extensive documentation of how the CIA was involved at every level, or the national security complex, because it's a very cooperative thing, into manipulating the nation into the Vietnam War. And we wound up creating the Golden Triangle, in which the CIA, Air America airplanes were flying in arms to our allies and flying back out with the heroin. We launched the largest, this is something that Jimmy Carter did, Admiral Turner brags about it, the operation in Afghanistan. Biggest single operation, I'm told, in the history of the CIA's secret wars. And sure enough, very quickly we produced the Golden Crescent, which is still the largest source of heroin perhaps in the world today.
In the early 1980s, when the CIA was working to establish a southern front in Costa Rica in the war against Nicaragua, a relationship was established with John Hull, an American rancher living in Costa Rica. There is mounting evidence that the airstrips on Hull's ranch became not only a delivery point for illegal contra weapon shipments from the U.S., but were also used for transporting cocaine into the United States.
You have CIA bases in Costa Rica and Honduras. You have airplanes flying back and forth continuously, landing at bases in the United States where they don't have to go through regular customs, with the CIA escorting the people in and out in a certain laissez-faire in the attitude at best of the customs, if there is, you know, any customs representation there. So it's a dream situation for drug smugglers.
But CIA involvement in the drug business did not start in Central America. It dates back at least as far as the Vietnam War.
Well, the three men, Shackley and Singlaub and Secord, were all working together from different countries on the huge CIA secret war in Laos. Our allies were the opium-growing tribesmen, and this meant that we continued in a very large way, not only to support, but really to augment a flow of heroin. This had to be run with the knowledge and the approval of the people who were in charge of these air operations. And these air operations had been controlled in the 66-68 period by General Secord.
The weapons trade and the narcotics trade in the world are two of the top five major money-making transactions in the whole world. These two major commodities in the world are hundreds of billions of dollars that go on. So the amount of money that we're talking about here is absolutely gargantuan. And all that the intelligence community, these guys have gone outside the governmental structures, are tapping into hundreds of millions, which they need to run their operations.
In the wake of World War II, the US government is engaged in a large number of secret medical experiments designed to help win the Cold War. Exposing unknowing members of the public to biological and chemical agents, developing techniques for mind control to create a so-called Manchurian candidate, even planning assassinations on powerful Third World leaders.
Cuba says that the CIA has attempted more than 600 assassination attempts on the life of Castro.
After the October crisis of 1962, Kennedy said that we would never physically invade the island if Khrushchev would remove the ballistic missiles. So therefore, the United States was frozen into a policy of trying to bring Castro down from within, which meant disrupting the average lifestyle of the Cuban citizen, doing whatever we could to sabotage the economy, to discredit the revolution.
One way of doing that, of course, was to try to control the amount of food coming into Havana for distribution to the public. And if we could do that by puncturing tires on a truck loaded with tomatoes for the market, or if we could cause a truckload of whatever, onions or fresh fruit or meat to become putrid or be stolen or contaminated on the way into town, we would do that. And I remember one particular instance. A brand new secondary school that had opened up in the countryside was going to receive its week's supply of fresh milk. And we bribed the driver of the truck. We knew where he stopped to have breakfast on his route. We wanted him to take a few extra minutes so we could put cement powder into the milk. We declared war on school children.
In the years that follow, the Cold War escalates at an alarming rate, with the superpowers competing for military and scientific supremacy. Espionage is the name of the game. The CIA embarks upon a multi-million dollar, highly classified research program into the covert use of biological and chemical materials, an innocuous term for a frightening array of unorthodox weapons. Bacteria to infect the enemy, poisons for assassinations, truth drugs for interrogations.
Torture in CIA. Many now see it as one word. Ever since 2004, when heart-wrenching images emerged from Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq, came to light many other gulags run by the CIA, from Guantanamo to Bagram in Afghanistan, not to mention tens and tens of other brigs on the decks of ships around the world, story of rendition, waterboarding, insects, dogs, sleep deprivation, so on and so forth. It has been official for years. The United States does torture.
The U.S. Use of torture has been very extensive. And it's just in recent years in Iraq, for example. It's been going on since the 1950s in Latin America. The U.S. was teaching the military and intelligence services of South American countries how to torture. They would give them lessons, they would give them the equipment, they would be present when they were torturing people to see how their students were doing. It was going on for many, many years.
When born CIA's initial mission was to gather intelligence, but for the past 7 decades or so, CIA has been doing everything but that, from covert operations and regime changes to assassinations by unmanned aerial vehicles, so-called drones. But one of the most vivid cases in recent history has been the case of Iraq, where CIA manufactured intelligence in order to support a war pre-designed by the neocons, the Bush administration. Everyone remembers Colin Powell, the U.S. Secretary of State back then, and his burlesque at the UN, the vivid presentation of Saddam Hussein's nuclear and biological capabilities, that the sky would fall and there would be mass destruction on Earth.
This is an important day for us all as we review the situation with respect to Iraq and its disarmament obligations under UN Security Council Resolution 1441. What you will see is an accumulation of facts and disturbing patterns of behavior. Indeed, the facts and Iraq's behavior show that Saddam Hussein and his regime are concealing their efforts to produce more weapons of mass destruction. My colleagues, every statement I make today is backed up by sources, solid sources. These are not assertions. What we're giving you are facts and conclusions based on solid intelligence. Orders were issued to Iraq's security organizations as well as to Saddam Hussein's own office to hide all correspondence with the Organization of Military Industrialization. This is the organization that oversees Iraq's weapons and of mass destruction activities. We know that Iraqi government officials, members of the ruling Ba'ath Party, and scientists have hidden prohibited items in their homes. The Iraqis are moving not just documents and hard drives, but weapons of mass destruction.
My fellow citizens, at this hour, American and coalition forces are in the early stages of military operations to disarm Iraq, to free its people, and to defend the world from grave danger.
The president stood before the world and presented an intelligence report from the CIA that proved Saddam had weapons of mass destruction and that he was intent on using them. The CIA knew that Saddam had disarmed, but that they chose to ignore the facts.
Weapons of mass destruction was a fantasy. We had accounted for the production equipment. We had accounted for the spare parts. We had accounted for the missiles. And yet when I briefed the CIA, they rejected it. They said that our work was flawed because it relied upon statements made by Iraqi officials that couldn't be trusted.
Don't let anybody tell you that the intelligence prior to Iraq was a mistake. I've had senior officials of the CIA tell me that it was a mistake. They know full well it was fraud. It was outright fraudulent, okay? And so that's what happened then. Now, the situation changed a little bit when it was seen to have been such a terrible fraud, or as the Bush administration would make it out to be, mistake, that it started a war with no apparent purpose, got a lot of people killed, and, you know, people focus on the 4,500 U.S. troops. Well, you know, that's really bad. But how about up to 1 million Iraqis dead today because of the war?
From covert operations to kill lists and overt assassinations, another day, another drone attack somewhere in the world. Some 6 countries right now are subject to U.S. drone attacks. The operations are run by the CIA, approved by the President of the United States, namely at present, Barack Obama.
Our drones have fired missiles into funerals, wedding parties, and all kinds of other social events in the past 5 or 6 years. It's just an amazing phenomenon. And not one person in America has been charged or ever will be charged with any kind of crime.
Bottom line, there is no check on what the operations part of the agency does or is doing. They do whatever the president directs. If the president says, fly all these drones over Pakistan and alienate 175 million people. That's how many people live in Pakistan, all right? Go ahead do it, yeah.
Well, thank you for watching. Always follow the money trail with me, Amir Arfa.